You know what it is indeed time for.
We do. It's that time.
It's the Top 5 at 5 on the Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantis. Brought to you by Builder Supply Outlet. True outlet prices every day. Now home of the Edge Kitchen and Bath Showroom.
It's the Top 5 on the Rokan Show. Let's go.
Oh, yeah. And right now, caller number 19 at 312-981-7200 gets a $50 gift certificate from our friends at Builder Supply Outlet. True outlet prices every day. Check out the ad, your state-of-the-art kitchen and bath showroom in Broadview. Also open in Roland Park.
Woohoo! Yay.
All right. So, that means checking in at
number 5.
Civil rights activist and comedian Dick Gregory has died. Gregory made a name for himself in the early 1960s as a wry observationist. Jokes about racism in America. He became one of the first African-American comedians to cross over and appeal to both black and white audiences.
None of that. We black folks need to pool our money together and open us up some black greeting card companies. Now, I'm not saying Hallmark. Hallmark is pretty. Hallmark got some stuff. Hallmark got some stuff that is so beautiful on them cards, make you just want to buy 90 million of them. But it's the message just don't have that ghetto vibration. Open up a Hallmark, the crow dark sings as sweetly as the lark. Do you love me or not? All I need is just some simple cards with a simple vibration. I ain't gonna do it no more. Give me another chance, baby. I know what you're thinking, but she hit on me first.
Oh, amazing.
He actually, you know, after having this run in comedy, decided he wanted to go into politics. He ran for mayor in Chicago unsuccessfully in 1966 and for president of the United States in 1968. That's sort of the Willie Wilson arc, right? He ran for mayor here, then he ran for president. Neither really worked out.
I thought the whole world knew the first thing I would do after becoming president of the United States is paint the White House black. The second thing I would do would be to bring all the boys home from Vietnam and send LBJ. And I'd have Eartha Kitt call him up every morning and say, "We working on peace feelers, baby."
Yeah, satire with a point. You know, it's amazing. You go back and you listen to how ahead of his time he was with some of his commentary.
He also, this is a little known fact about Dick Gregory, he appears on the Give Peace a Chance recording that John Lennon did in the Montreal hotel room where he and Yoko Ono were staging their Bet In for Peace. Dick Gregory was 84. Checking in at
number 4.
Large protests planned when President Trump holds a campaign-style rally in Phoenix tomorrow night. In a Washington Post editorial, Mayor Greg Stanton of Phoenix asks the president to delay the trip, saying that Trump has doused racial tensions with gasoline. Mayor Stanton also writes that the possible pardon of Maricopa County, former Maricopa County Sheriff Joe Arpaio, would be, quote, an endorsement of the lawlessness and discrimination that terrorized Phoenix Latino community.
I did not feel it was the right time to do it. It was too close after Charlottesville. That was such a difficult situation, not only for the people in Charlottesville, but for all Americans. And so the campaign style rally so shortly thereafter, I did not think was appropriate.
Wow. I thought it'd be interesting tomorrow night.
Yeah, it will be. I mean, I think just the security around it, it'll be contentious no matter what. You can only imagine the protests because of what a controversial move that would be to pardon the sheriff.
My sense is that tonight's speech is going to be very much on the teleprompter. It's going to be, I'm guessing. I mean, I'm like everybody else right now, including his own staff. They're
Who
just
knows?
Guessing at what's going to happen. But I would imagine that tonight is going to be very, very performance. In front of a military audience, he's actually not doing it from the White House. Which is unusual because he's going out. Generally, a primetime speech is done from either the Oval Office or some other part of the White House. Now, I know that there has been some construction in the White House, and I don't think that that was scheduled to be done until next week. So I don't know if that
maybe that
is one of the reasons. It may be a factor. So I want to be fair about that. is going to Fort Myer, which is not too far from the White House, but he is going to have an audience of military personnel. And this is kind of an interesting situation because you've seen this in the past. He wants to get amped up and, you know, he wants a crowd reaction. When he's in front of a crowd, he does not want a silent crowd. So he will say things to try to get them to react. Now, one of the other issues there is if they do react directly to whatever he's saying, especially controversial stuff, then there's backlash for that, especially if they're caught on camera doing it, like for those law enforcement officers who reacted by, you know, laughing or cheering at the at the fact, you know, when he was suggesting that
the way you treat someone as you're loading them into the
suspects.
Squad car,
and
it didn't come across well to a lot of people.
So he's using some stagecraft here of using the military as part of the stagecraft, which he's not the first president to do that.
No.
So I'm not going to criticize him for that, but I'm going to say it'll be some interesting television tonight. But tomorrow night is really going to be something because he's going to be off the prompter tomorrow night.
It will be. I think today will even be interesting. I mean, is he going, as he was critical of the Afghanistan policy and what we've done in Afghanistan over the years, is he going to boost the number of troops and then, you know, moving forward? What is the strategy?
All right. Well, just as we're saying, breaking
something
news, Fox News is reporting that the president has approved sending 4,000 more troops to Afghanistan, according to senior officials.
Well, they're saying that civilian casualties are up some of the highest numbers they've been throughout the war. So it seems as if the policies are not necessarily effective. And there you go. We'll see what else he says.
Top 5-5 continues right here on the Rokan Show with Anna DeVontis on your 720 WGN. Checking in at
number 3.
Now I had the time of my life. No, I never
30 years ago, Dirty Dancing premiered. So it means it's 30 years since moviegoers were impressed with the stellar dance moves of Jennifer Grey, the original Jennifer Grey. She was replaced by a cyborg years later.
Doesn't look the same.
Didn't
today.
Look anything like
no.
her. She was replaced by her own wax figure. You know how the wax figure never looks like the original actor?
Yeah, so something's wrong.
Yeah.
Something slightly different.
That's what happened there. And Patrick Swayze, the late, great Patrick Swayze.
Mm.
Now, you'll recall the movie follows Francis Baby Houseman,
of course,
played by Jennifer Grey, the original. And she visits an upstate New York resort where her family, of course, and now she falls in love with Swayze's Johnny Castle.
That's a great name, isn't it? I forgot that was his name in the movie, Johnny Castle.
The camp's beloved dance instructor, bad boy reputation.
Oh, yeah.
Although the film grossed $150 million worldwide, it was a bona fide hit. The dancing was the star of the show.
You are not scared of anything. I don't
know. I'm scared of everything. I'm scared of what I saw. I'm scared of what I did, of who I am. And most of all, I'm scared of walking out of this room and never feeling the rest of my whole life the way I feel when I'm with you.
You know what's funny?
What?
It's 30 years ago, it grossed $150 million. Yeah, the acting. Yes, that's funny.
It doesn't stand up over time, does
no.
it?
Well, especially when you don't see it.
Right, that's true.
Yeah. But $150 million is what it made worldwide in its initial release.
It's supposed to be a total flop. They said the test audience hated it. It might have gone right to video, and it just became like the momentum behind it that just took off.
But now a middling comedy makes $150 million worldwide.
It's true. But a coming-of-age movie that mostly stars dancing?
Yeah, but she was supposed to be awkward. I think that's why it works.
Mm-hmm.
Her character in general is not cool.
Right.
In the beginning.
And then she becomes cool
because she lets
go of her princessness and becomes falls in love for the first time, thinks about someone else, not herself.
Right. With the boy who mm-hmm. wasn't supposed to fall in love with.
Exactly.
Teaches her more about
herself.
It's
a great lesson for girls.
Yeah. Fall in love with the dancer, the
classic
exotic dancer.
Storyline.
You won't be anything until you fall in love for the first time.
When you're at a bachelorette party, just like try to fall in love with the dancer, the one who comes and dances for you.
Yes. That's right.
Change your life.
Isn't that what everybody tells, what all the fathers tell their daughters?
No.
No.
They don't tell them.
No, they don't.
It worked for them.
It worked right.
It did.
So it was
Very well.
Summertime romantic dance movie. And what else did it have to compete with? Footloose, right? I mean, what else was it competing with? All right. And finally.
Number
one.
Oh, what? No, no, no,
what,
no.
What? That's wrong?
No, that's wrong.
We're not on number one?
No, we're not.
Number two.
Don't skip ahead. Thank you, Orion.
Thank you. Today's eclipse was a Super Bowl of sorts for Tom Skilling, our own meteorologist here at WGN.
Such a beautiful moment watching him. I had tears with him. I just got choked up watching him.
He had not seen a solar eclipse ever in his life. And here's a man who's lived for, I mean, literally lived for the weather. Mm-hmm. And he has made Chicagoans care about the weather and understand the weather more than probably any other human in the history of Chicago television, maybe sure. in the history of all of American television. Mm-hmm. That is for sure. As a matter of fact, Tom Skilling, the words Tom Skilling, started trending on Twitter.
I saw that. Today, it still actually is right now.
With many praising him for his coverage as well as his incredible, honest reaction.
Yep.
Holy crap! Oh, look at that. Look at that. Oh, my word. Wow. This is amazing. What do you think of this, guys?
Here, buddy.
Wow.
You did it. Congratulations. Where are you going to be in 7 years?
I don't know. I think we're going to be back here again.
All right, so we'll see you back here.
Look at this.
Channel 9 said the only thing better than watching the eclipse was watching Tom Skilling watching the eclipse, and I agree with it. It was such an honest moment, wasn't it? And to see a guy who's like come close to tornadoes and all kinds of weather phenomena to get this moved, you know, by the eclipse. It was cool to watch.
Amazing.
It really was.
Amazing stuff. All right, and finally.
Number one.
Jerry Lewis, the high prince of lowbrow comedy, has died. The son of vaudeville entertainers, he became a star in the early 1950s as Martin's spastic sidekick in nightclubs on television and in 16 movies.
What are you laughing at?
Say, what kind of a voice do you have?
Until I was 18, I was a soprano.
Soprano?
Yeah, but then my mother told me I was born a boy.
Don't tell me you were born.
What do you think, I came from an egg?
No, the chicken would have buried it.
Uh-huh. Well, my mother loves me.
I'll bet she was disappointed. I'll bet she wanted a child.
Well, she got one. Look up the records. I was born at the Mercy Hospital.
What's the matter? Were you sick?
No, I want to be near my mother.
Actually, when you go back and you watch those Dean and Jerry movies,
mm-hmm.
they're actually very comfortable to watch. Mm-hmm. They're beautifully done, beautifully shot, goofy. I mean, if you think Dirty Dancing doesn't really hold up, it's like, hey, that wouldn't really happen. That's, you know, very true of Dean Martin and Jerry Lewis comedies. But they were very good together. They had amazing timing together.
No question.
He starred in more than 45 movies throughout his 5-decade career, and a lot of critics took issue with him. Although, you know what he did do? Hmm. I should mention this. He also invented the video playback system.
What?
Yeah. That movies, to this very day, they use. But they didn't. At that point, you'd have to, the director would shoot something. Then they have to wait for the film to get directed developed to see what it was that they had just shot. And so when he started directing movies, and he did, he directed a number of them, some better than others. Mm-hmm. But he sort of famously directed some avant-garde stuff. He wanted to have video playback, so video was becoming more portable at that point, and he basically hooked up to the lens of the camera the ability for the camera to shoot the film, but also to feed a video version of it so he could see the performances that he had just shot and decide whether or not he wanted to reshoot them.
Seems like an important invention.
They just picked it up from there. So, I mean, things to think about. I mean, Jerry Lewis, I interviewed a number of times over the years for mm-hmm. the telethon.
Yeah.
Not exactly the easiest guy to interview.
Now, why is that? Was he frosty?
He's just kind of frosty. And he was, you know, he would do 100 of those kinds of interviews to promote. And it would be 5 minutes. He's
right, you're
do
done.
His thing. If you catch him in a good moment, he was funny. You catch him in a bad moment. But he was an utter professional. True. I mean, that was the thing. He'd seen everything that you could possibly see in show business. And at one point, when he did The Nutty Professor, the original Nutty Professor, mm-hmm. there, by the way, Violetta and Kevin, there was a movie called The Nutty Professor.
Okay.
Before. It was an original version of that, starring Jerry Lewis.
Love it, that movie.
Yes, it was.
Probably a different version.
Yes, the different, yeah. The one that came out, what, 30
right.
years
was,
after.
It wasn't Eddie. It was Eddie Murphy was not the original Nutty Professor.
Was it something I said?
You must be deranged.
Yeah, if you don't believe in idle chatter and a lot of small talk, yeah, I'm deranged. Or would you prefer that I conduct myself like the little boys you're accustomed to dating? Now, you know darn well that nothing delights us more than being enjoyed, appreciated, or just plain liked by someone, right? Well, you're not going to tell me that you're here with me now because I don't appeal to you. And I'm sure that you can see I dig you pretty good, too, right? Well, isn't it easier to say so? Or would you much prefer that I used a lot of that phony dialogue I'm sure you've heard at least a half a dozen times before? So you see, Stell, when I tell you that you're a vibrant, beautiful, exciting woman, you can believe me.
Yeah, a little different, wasn't it? Yeah. Sort of a darker version. It was kind of rapey, actually, his version of The Nutty Professor. You know?
And not only that, was he just reading from the script?
Why, you didn't like that delivery?
No.
Yeah, he was just reading, because you don't even, mm-hmm. you sort of lose him in the dialogue, like, wait, what is he saying? Because he's not actually interpreting the dialogue, he's just, you know, directly, your point, Judy, directly reading from the script.
I'm going to go back and watch that one.
Yeah.
No, don't bother.
Okay, I'm good.
The new one's better.
The Eddie Murphy.
The Eddie Murphy
better,
version
yes.
is better, actually. Very rarely are they, is that true,
rarely.
But it spawned its own sequels, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, that The Nutty Professor, a little different. This is a little different. Because actually playing that, and I don't want to, because, you know, Jerry Lewis had an amazing career, and
no
we should
question.
Honor his career here. But
the
playing
epitome of a performer.
Correct. But playing that clip does not really sell it.
It doesn't do it for him. It doesn't really
but,
sum
you know,
up his body
you'd
of
be
work.
Hard find, it'd be hard to find a clip that would, really. I mean,
true.
As far as an actor, you know.
Right. And then you think about
he
what
was
he
just,
did.
Yeah, he was like a slapstick silly guy.
Judy, just confirm you're not a Jerry Lewis fan.
No,
is that what you're
no, not really. And I really, I think that's either you love him or you hate him. I don't hate him. I just, no, I never got it.
Well, he did raise over $1 billion.
Yes, and I love him
the
for that.
MDI.
I always watch the telethons, but not his movies.
Jerry Seinfeld said, if you don't get Jerry Lewis, you don't understand comedy. And that's a pretty strong comment from him, I think.
Well, one of the things about Jerry Lewis, though, is especially in his later years when he'd sit there, after he'd raised about $750 million trying to get to the billion mark,
gosh,
he got, and he wouldn't sleep. He'd get rather obnoxious during the telethon itself.
I mean,
he'd be ordering everybody around.
That's hard. We're live television for that many hours. There's going to be a few moments.
Poor Ed McMahon would be. Ed McMahon right now is trying to outrun him in heaven, is what he's trying to do.
Here he comes.
Don't tell Jerry I'm here. That's basically what's happening.